Well, how's everyone doing? Last night, you know, I told you guys that it was our goal and our focus to really come in today and finish strong. And it's not over yet because we're up there calling free agents, undrafted free agents, starting that process. And we're going to be really aggressive there because we feel there's a lot of really quality football players left. But we're really proud about the way we finished today. You know, we started with Joe Williams, a guy that we really felt like had some traits that we value. And we got really comfortable with the kid and a better understanding of what his story was. We moved on to George Kittle, a tight end from Iowa that we grew very fond of throughout this process. And, you know, he was there where we thought that it was a great value to add George. Trent Taylor is a player that, again, we told you guys that we weren't really concerned with you know, how and where the rest of the league valued players. Are they a fit for us? And from the start, this was a guy that we were excited with, and his ability to separate in the slot, which is such a key component in today's football. Moving down to DJ Jones is a guy who has from Ole Miss. There's two DJ Joneses at Ole Miss, so we were very clear we wanted the defensive tackle from Ole Miss, not the other guy. We got the right guy. He's got
no offense to the other.
No offense to the other guy. He's a heck of a player. We just didn't want him at that point. And so we got the right DJ Jones, and he's a stout nose who also has three technique versatility, but yet I think really dynamic. And I'm not even going to try the last name, but we're going to call him Pita T. Pita T from Utah. He's a guy that we started watching what we call that Leo position, and we felt like we've got so many big guys. We just want a speed rusher off the edge, and he gave us a guy that, again, a guy we grew to become very fond of throughout the process. And finally, we finished it out with a guy who we had watched through the process but probably got hot on here in the last couple weeks, a guy, Adrian Colbert. He's listed as a safety. We think he has corner flexibility as well. He's a big athlete that can run and play tremendous special teams, very physical player. So, you know, I was just laughing as I saw this list because I didn't even realize it. But we started with three defensive players. I think Kyle said enough of that. We went four offensive players, and then we finished with three defensive players. So real proud of the draft. Like I said, we're working hard. Our scouts, who did an excellent job, are working hard on the free agents, along with our coaches, and going to finish there. And I'll turn over to Kyle for some comments. And go ahead, Kyle.
John again said it all, so I don't have much to say, but it was, I'm as excited as John as everyone in our organization. We held both sides of the ball. Feel we've added some depth to our team, and most importantly, competition across. So excited to get with these guys. I mean, just getting them here is where it starts, but now we got to go to work.
The one guy neither one of you mentioned is Capri Bibbs, who you acquired just minutes, at least we've done about just minutes before the other running back draft pick. Why those two guys at that point, and how do you see them fitting to what you want to do, Kyle?
Well, one, I thought, you know, our goal going into this draft was we wanted to get the best possible players and get a number of them. And to have an opportunity to pick up an extra fifth-round pick and to get a guy like Capri, who has had success in this league. I studied Capri coming out of Colorado State, and he does have some qualities to him that we really do like. So I think getting Capri, adding a fifth rounder, which allowed us to move a little bit to make some other selections too. And we did it expensive losing one next year, but we felt it was worth it to where we need some competition on our team. And we did that with Capri, and it also allowed us to get a pick that allowed us to maneuver to get some other guys too.
Did you see Capri in the preseason a fair amount?
I did. And I liked him as a player. You know, Denver, John Elway and I were talking, and they had a want to get a fourth rounder next year. We wanted to load up in that fifth round because we felt like there'd still be a lot of quality players that we coveted. And, you know, that third, I forget, a lot went on in these last couple of days, but one of those allowed us to move up, and a lot went on. No one told me this deal was this tiring. So I feel like I played a game and some.
John, you mentioned the need to get comfortable with Joe's story and understand it. How did you go about doing it?
Well, just to be perfectly honest, you know, you start having these meetings and you start to watch the kid. The talent was undeniable, but when you hear quit the team, it was like, not interested. We started, Kyle, in fact, kind of resurrected him and said, John, have you seen this talent? You know, let's watch it late in the year. And we started watching it. And so then we start doing some research because the talent was, as I said earlier, undeniable. We got more comfortable in a number of ways. Bobby Turner, who our running back coach, who spends more time on the phone with these kids than anybody in the history of this league, I can promise you. I think it was daily he was talking to Joe. And Bobby started to get comfortable. I talked to his head coach, Kyle Whittingham, and Kyle said, let's be very clear, he did not quit the team. He physically and mentally got tired and broke down, and he asked for advice on what they should do. He stepped away. They had some injuries. Kyle went back to him and said, hey, you know, we'd love for you to come back, but I first have to ask your teammates. They opened them back, welcomed them back with open arms. And then this morning, you know, I felt like the last steps. We had a lot of people like Bobby and Adam Peters had talked to him. Before I drafted a young man like that, I wanted to talk to the kid, and it was the first thing I did this morning. I came in, and I got on the phone with Joe. And, he just – I think there's some things that I think need to stay private, but just mentioned to me that throughout that process, he kind of addressed some things that have been bothering him for a long time and feels like he came out a different person. I think it's a wonderful story. And it turned in from one that I have no interest because my perception was anyone who quits a team, I don't want. And then I learned about the kid and I got a great deal of respect for how far he's come. And you mix that with the talent and it became someone we actually moved up to go secure.
He was pretty upfront when he talked to us about why he stepped away. Do you guys have a plan, a support system in place to help him when or if, you know, he has difficult times ahead?
No doubt. We're going to be very proactive, not just with him, with all our players and in particular the rookies, to support them in every way. It's something that Joe and I talked about. You know, I know you've addressed it, but are you comfortable with us kind of reassessing things, where you're at, and then from there gathering a plan? He indicated that's what he wants, and so that's what we'll do, and I think he deserves the privacy as to what that is once we establish it. But I can tell you through a lot of hard work, and I want to thank scouts like Reggie Cobb, who was very involved, and Bobby Turner and Adam Peters, and then, like I said, I want to thank Kyle because, like I said, he was kind of in the heaps, kind of had gone away, and you got to stay open to all things, and started showing me the film. And I can't lie with you. And that's one thing. They've run this system for so long. They got an eye for what works. And so, he's got some traits that we like. And like everybody else, he's going to come into a very competitive room. You talked about Capri. There's going to be a lot of competition in that room. And we'll see how he does.
What do you see from Joe on tape?
His ability to run the ball is very as good as anybody's. I mean, as far as speed, cutting ability. Running through tackles, his overall balance. It's just exactly what John said when, you know, you hear those things, especially as a coach too. I felt the same way, so I didn't put as much time into the tape for those reasons. And then just on a random boring day, you know, just watching other guys, just threw it on and watched it a little bit more. And when the tape's that talented, you want to look into those things a little bit more. And we did, and we felt so much better about it. And so then when you see that overall ability, it doesn't guarantee anything, but it means he has the ability to make all the cuts, the abilities to be a very good back in this league. Now he's got to come do it and be consistent. And, you know, after talking with him, his coaches, a lot of people have known him, some of the things he's gone to, we feel very good about the guy. We know there's things we do need to help him with, but I think he can have a very bright future for us and for himself in the NFL.
Michael Lombardi said yesterday you all were looking to trade Vance McDonald. Obviously, you drafted a tight end. I guess, A, is that true about looking to trade Vance? And, you know, if so, is that inspired the move for Kittle?
I don't think to the latter inspired the move for Kittle. Kittle was a player, as I indicated, that we grew to really like, and particularly where he was. He was a guy that we wanted to get. We thought it was a tremendous value. As for Vance, I think that's the reality of new regimes coming in, new schemes. That's not to say that he can't fit into our scheme. You know, frankly, we received some interest from some other people, and then we did explore some options throughout the league with Vance, and nothing ended up happening. So Vance will come back and have an opportunity to compete, and that's where that stands.
Did you have a conversation with him about that?
Yeah, I already have, and I called him last night. He was at his brother's wedding, so he didn't answer, but I left a long message. He sent me a text this morning. We're all good. We're going to talk in person tomorrow. But, you know, it's, you know, we took over a 2-14 team, and we need to get better in every aspect, and we're going to try to in every aspect. It was true with Vance, but it wasn't just Vance. You know, we weren't doing Vance just specifically. We're trying any way possible to improve our team. You know, we did it with Vance the most because a lot of people are interested in Vance, but we were ready to do that with anybody. We'll listen to that always and try to improve our team in any way we can because we have a lot of work to do. And if we don't think it'll improve our team, then we're going to do what's best for the organization. And I think our players will respect that, and we'll be up front with that. But that's exactly what it was about. Just we've taken over a 2-14 team, and we need to get better. And starting free agency that went into the draft these last few days, and we'll always be looking to improve.
As are up front with a player, they know that he was on the trade block. What's it like for a guy to come back in? I mean, it kind of seems like some guys might say, I'm done here,
yeah,
and not give you very much. So why keep him on the team if you really don't see a role for him?
That's why I was trying to answer that. It's not at all about not having a role. It's about how can you improve your team? And when you tell other teams if they're interested in your own players, whatever it is, whether that can bring you two players, whether that can move you into the draft to get a different player that might be a bigger need. You want to explore all those avenues. If your team's just set and you feel you're one player away, I'm not trying to mess with them. I'm just trying to find that one player. That's kind of what I mean by we did take over a 2-14 team. We don't feel all the answers are here right now. We got a lot of work to do, and we need to improve it every way possible. And we're going to do that. And you do that from an organizational standpoint. How can we improve the building? How can we improve the coaching staff? How can we improve the personnel department? How can we improve the players? And you know, just getting from Vance's text back, I think people understand that. I think that does make sense. I don't think that's something personal. I would be surprised if Vance took it personally. And just reading through his text and knowing what he said to me on how he's going to see me Monday, I think he completely understood.
And Matt, I would tell you, I would add to it. You know, it left me thinking because, you know, I would say a quarter of the teams called us with various players that they're kind of shopping. So got me thinking how many times in my career I was shopped and never knew about it. So I can tell you that in this day and age, things tend to get out. I think it's been something that's been going on for years. And our big deal, Kyle and I, is just that we were always going to be up front with players because I know from my experience in this league, so long as people are up front and tell you what they're doing and why they're doing it, guys understand that this is a business. And so that's something we've committed to do and will continue to do. And I think as long as you operate as such, players will understand.
John, do you feel like with the draft over, the chance to trade Vance is probably gone, or will you try to still explore that?
You know, I'll never say never, but you know, I think he comes back in here Monday, and we'll welcome him with open arms and go compete. I mean, that's the message to all our players, and
we want Vance here. All the guys we have here, we want here until you can get better, and it's. I try to give an analogy. If someone called and offered to give the Niners Tom Brady, but I had to go, I hope they should listen to that. I wouldn't be offended. I would get that. And that's just you explore all avenues to improve your team, and that's nothing more than that.
For both. That's
why.
How much do you feel you have improved the team over the last 3 days?
Yeah, I think a whole lot. I really do. You know, I think that's the great thing about this game is that we'll see in a few years. All these guys got to go prove it. And, you know, we have to go prove it and support it by Now you draft players, and now it's Kyle's job and his staff's job and our job to continue to give them competition so that we develop these players to the best of their ability. But yet, just like free agency, there's a story. There's a vision for each one of these players. And I think when you do that and you force yourself to be very clear in terms of what you're looking for, you know, to think that we did all of this, we did what we did in free agency, and we added a number two pick in next year's draft and a number three pick in next year's draft. I'm real proud of what we've accomplished.
Well, with Jimmy Ward playing safety, you guys didn't draft a safety. Does that signal that he's the favorite to start? And were there things that you saw from him during, leading up to the draft in minicamp that made you say, okay, we're comfortable with him back there?
Yeah, I was real excited with what we saw from him in camp. You know, it's the first time I've seen him at the safety position, and thought he did a very good job. You know, it's just two practices. It's unpadded, but he has definitely the ability and the one to play there. And, again, that's not why you go into a draft and say we're not taking that position. I don't think we really did that with any position. But we're very excited about him and the possibilities of him being a very good safety.
The last pick, Adrian Culbert, is he a free safety or where do you envision
him? Well, as I said, we think he has corner versatility as well. He played corner he did a graduate transfer year at Miami and played corner and played it well. And fits the profile that we're looking for there, but we know he can play safety. We're going to give him a go at probably corner first. I want to speak for the coaches, but this is what we were thinking when we drafted him, and know that he has safety versatility and is we believe, going to be one heck of a special teams player as well. We've seen it on film. And so we were kind of crossing our fingers that he stayed up there, and he did, and we jumped.
It seems obvious that you guys will give Jimmy the fifth-year option. Send that to him.
It's looking like that. Yeah, I had no clue when you guys asked me that the other day. I had no idea. I've been focused on the draft, but made me go check.
As far as Cal Moapenu.
Yeah.
At least you attempted it.
Who else are you guys looking at that position? Is that something where you're going to have different guys kind of go through there during the spring and, you know, figure out the best Leo pass rusher?
Yeah, we need to find out who the best pass rushers are on this team. And, you know, we got there in the sixth round, and we felt Peter was the best pass rusher who was there. So that's why we took a shot on him. We want to continue improving in pass rushing. You know, I don't think we're done improving our team also. People get let go in June. You never know what happens in training camp, and we are always looking to improve. So it's by no means are we totally set with our roster, but we are very happy with what we've done so far, and I feel we've given ourselves the best chance to improve it in every avenue that we've hit, and I don't think that stops. I think that's what you continue doing day in and day out, and the two big ways to improve your team are the draft and free agency, but I still think that continues.
We've talked a lot about, Kyle and I, about how many shared philosophies we have in this game, and I think Kyle, from being an offensive coach and playing against great defenses, and me, from having the opportunity of being a defensive back, we both believe you win up front. You got to knock quarterbacks down. You got to make them feel you. You got to stop the run. And so we really wanted to get really strong up front, and so we've done that, not only with where we started with Solomon, but in numbers, you know, adding DJ Jones and Pita, I think all of a sudden you got a lot of numbers. But these, you know, I think pass rushers these days, you play so many snaps in that nickel deal, you got to have a lot of them, and you got to be able to roll them in there, and you got to have them compete. And so I think we've set up a great situation there for, hey, may the best men win.
John, having been going through it now for the first time, at least in your current roles, anything that surprised you throughout this process?
I had no idea I was going to trade that much. I thought I was a fairly conservative guy, you know, and they were just going to have a calm draft in it. I think the only reason that transpired like that is because of the opportunity that came our way with Chicago. We came in with a lot of picks, 10. We ended up having 10, but also, as I said, gained two in next year's. And so put ourselves in great position. But what that also did with all the picks we already had is gave us the ammunition to win. C.J. Beathard and Joe Williams were guys we really wanted. We could say, let's move up and go get that guy so we know we get him, and still feel good about the quantity of picks we had.
Talking about Joe Williams, one, do you guys believe he can be a future back? And two, can you talk about his patience in hitting the hole? As a young running back, some players just hit a hole and don't have the patience to hit that cutback. You talk about cutback. Can you just talk about what you see in his cutups?
Yeah, I mean, any back that we want on a roster, we want to believe that they have the chance to be a feature back. You know, unless it's a specific gadget type role or something, which it's usually hard to make the team when it's just that type of role, unless you can be a returner and provide other value. So anybody on our roster who's a true running back, we want to believe that he has the ability to be a feature back. And that's how it happens all the time. Guys get hurt. You need competition. You never know who's going to be your guy. And when you come to the style of runner, I mean, that's what we liked about him the most. He can press it. He can make a one-foot cut. When you talk, everyone says the cutback. I look at it more as just getting downhill, because the more you can make a defense play sideways, you just get downhill and it looks like you cut back. But it's because everyone's scared you're running outside, and so they go sideways and you get downhill, but it's behind the backside tackle. When you have a guy who can run as fast as he can, you know, he was clocked at high 4.3s at his pro day. The problem is usually when guys run that fast, they can't cut. So when you got a guy who can run that fast and can cut, which is what Joe Williams is, I do think you have a chance to be pretty special.
Is a 20-yard short shuttle an indicator of that?
Usually a 20-yard short shuttle is the quickest players, and they usually aren't that fast. I had a good 20-yard shuttle, a horrible 40. So he's got both, so he's a little better than me.
Do you want to add another quarterback?
I don't know. That's what we're looking into, free agents. You always would like to bring four to camp, and you usually do. It's, again, we're not going to do it just to do it. I don't want to bring a guy in that we don't think has a chance and then hurt another position. I still think you can get by with three in camp. But if we feel we can get one here in free agency, and there are some guys out there we're targeting, if we can get one of those, I'd love to have a fourth.
Where are you guys at with Eric Armstead in terms of trying him out at Leo? I know the practice that we saw, he was sitting out, presumably with the shoulder. Where is he in terms of how he fits in that position?
No, that's, you know, when it comes to Leo, and this is you guys learning the words like Leo and stuff, so are we. We're just looking for our best pass rusher, and that's what we'd like to put at the Leo spot. So I think Armstead has a chance to be one of those. So I think he also can play inside too. So I think we have a few guys like that who are capable of playing a number of spots. So it's tough to figure that out until we get out there on the field, and he didn't get a go in mini camp, but that's something we'll be looking at throughout OTAs and training camp. And usually the best pass rusher, when it's all said and done, we'll most likely put him at Leo.
And I'd just add with Eric, one of the things that we're really happy or excited to see once he gets healthy, and this is not to disparage the system that they were playing, and systems are different, we're going to let him cut loose. And we think when this guy starts going that way, that it can be pretty special. Now it's up to him to go do it, but we believe that he has that versatility Kyle talks about being inside, in pass rush situations, outside. You can move them all over, and I'm excited to see the product, particularly with all the different combinations we can put out there now.
Sorry, Kyle, I just want to circle back. If there was anything that caught you off guard or surprised you throughout the season.
And it was similar to what John said. You know, my goal going into this draft was I thought we needed to add a bunch of players, and we had 10 picks. So usually I think a philosophy is if you trade, you usually don't get as many players. And so if you would have told me we traded six times, I would have been, well, dang, we didn't get 10 players. Then what did we give up to go get whatever players we wanted? And for what surprises me when it's all said and done, to know we traded six times, the goal was to get 10 players, and we still got 10 players, and plus added a second and third from last year. If you would have told me all that, I would have been very surprised. Usually I think of when you trade, that means you go into a draft with 10 picks and you end up only getting six players. And be able to do that much and to get the players and ammo for last year, that's something I didn't think happens very much.
Now I'm kind of ticked. We were one away from a team record, so we should have just done it.
Yeah, we definitely should have.
Of all the congratulatory text or messages you guys got, was there anybody or anything said that blew you away or surprised you?
You know, there was there was a lot of fun stuff going on. That's something that's neat about this league, just like playing. I didn't know what to expect in the role we're in right now, but when you play, I think people don't understand that there's a great respect amongst players, even though you compete against them. It's the same way here. You see a lot of, hey, when you appreciate someone else's pick, people reach out, and that's a neat deal. Kyle got it. I got it. And we were proud of our draft, and other people, I think, appreciated what we did.
I'm just curious about Beathard. You know, last night when you guys chose him, a lot of us, myself included, were kind of like, okay, you know, weren't expecting him at that spot. Did you hear from teams around the league about that pick in Tobago?
Yeah, you usually hear from your peers, people you're close to, other, you know, if you have a, most offensive coaches will reach out to me when we take an offensive guy. Oh, he was my second favorite guy. He was my fourth. I thought it was a great fit. Whatever it is, you get that from whoever the quarterback coaches are that you're friends with around the league. Everyone's waiting to see because everyone's ranking the same guys, and we all lie to each other for 2 straight months who we have where, and no one knows the truth till they see what you do. So it's, oh, I knew you liked him. You never talked about him, so I had a feeling. Or it's a bunch of mind games, and everyone gets to see what the truth is when the draft comes.
Kyle, not draft-related, but in the locker rooms, which used to be organized by position, the lockers, why is the switch?
More just to change it up. To, you know, I want our team to be close, and I don't want just groups to be close. You're with your group enough in your position meetings and usually all day, and it's each position group's broken up, and that gets real tight, and then the sides of the ball are broken up. So I think the more you can mix up the locker room and you can have a running back next to a D lineman or a corner next to a center. I just think it mixes it up. It forces you to get a little bit out of your comfort zone, and I think in the long run it makes your team a little closer.
Kyle, were you trying to find a specific profile at wide receiver? And what about Trent Taylor?
No, one thing I'll say about receivers is, I mean, they come in all shapes and sizes. There's lots of the thing I look for the most in receivers are specific traits you can take advantage of. If they have elite speed, then we can use them a certain way. If they have elite quickness, you can use them a certain way. If it's toughness or hands. What Trent did is, you know, I thought he was as good at the slot role as anyone that we were looking at in the draft. And he really owned that spot. He was very quick. His body's always under him. He can make cuts. And I thought what impressed me the most about him, besides the separation ability, is that when he did get the ball in his hands, he ran angry and pissed off. He got up the field. He's not scared to get hit. He's a very competitive, violent runner. And those are the guys to me who keep you on the field and move the chains.
It's kind of half joking, I think, about, you know, he's all the size, I think, compared to Welker and Amendola and every single white slot wide receiver who's small.
Yes.
But is he like, you know, Amendola and Welker?
Yeah, I'd like to come up with someone else, but just speaking facts, that's what he looks like. He moves. He's similar to Curly. Yeah, he's, you know, he's built that way. And when we're talking slot receivers, and there's different types, but usually the quicker guys, their feet are always under them, who can make cuts at any time. Those are the guys who make it, and usually those guys are smaller guys who aren't so fast. What I just told you guys about a running back, if you run 4.3, it's usually hard to just cut on right away. Usually the slower guys can cut a little better. If you can get guys in between, that's usually the best slot receivers. There's not many slot receivers who run 4.3. There's a reason they can't cut as well as they need to underneath. Just it's the same with nickelbacks. In order to cover those slot receivers, not many of them are real long and lanky. They're pretty short and quick too. So it's all about matchups and who you want to put against other people when it's man-to-man coverage, and that's usually what you get on third down, and that's a real important thing to staying on the field.
All right, last one, guys.
Was he just someone who stood out on film that
you needed to have? Yes, it's you know, contact is some people you need to talk to more than others. You need to find stuff out, but it all starts with the tape. And we base our opinion on is the tape. And once we like the tape, you know, then we see what we need to dig into. And you trust your scouts a lot because they're the ones that have been to the schools. They're the ones who have been doing the homework for a while and know the guy a lot better. And if their character completely checks out, there's nothing you're worried about, and you love what's on tape, I don't want to be in contact with them a ton and having his agent tell every other team how much we like him, and then someone you don't want people to totally know. But sometimes you have to. You got to look into him more. You have to talk to him, develop relationships so you can check up on stuff that you might have heard.
All right. Got to get these guys back upstairs.
Thank you, guys.
All right, guys. Thanks.